Book of Psalms, chapter number 37 again. Psalms 37, we'll be back in this. Good to have a new addition into the service today. Miss Nikki and Brother Brian and Emmy Kate brought her little brother to church today. Amen. Just a little bitty fella. Amen. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we'll be having a baby dedication next Sunday. I think we've got about five, I think, that will be, we're going to grow the church one way or another, from within, from without, somehow or another, amen, both preferably, but anyway, it's good to see these little ones coming on, and that's just more opportunity, more people to reach, a greater outreach, greater ministry, and we want to influence them for the Lord, amen. Our Psalms 37, if you'd like to stand, are physically able to, in reverence to the Scriptures today, we'd ask you to stand and honor the Word of God. He says that's scriptural. In the book of Ezra, they stood over a half a day. Men, women, children, they stood in over a half a day, nothing except hearing the Word of God read. Not preached. Just read, half a day. So there's a principle of honoring the Word of God. You know, of course, standing up, you can stand up and not honor the Lord, but it's just a visible way to do that, of honoring the Scripture. And verse number 1 of Psalms 37, fear not thyself, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou be, dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We'll just stop right there for sake of time this morning. Really, it'd be good for you too, and I've encouraged you along the way to read Psalm 37. And every time I read it, I see something else. I see more. The Word of God, it's inexhaustible. You can't explore its depths. It's alive, and we just want to get something out of it for us this morning. Let's stand for prayer, and then you can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us today. Thank you for the good songs of Zion, the good Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the saints of God that have come out to RBT today. And dear Lord, I realize today that if all they hear is me and my voice, dear Lord, then that they'll leave disappointed. They'll leave unchanged, unchallenged. But dear Lord, somehow if you could speak through me, Lord, if you could speak, Lord, through the Spirit of God and through the Scriptures today to the hearts of your people, even to the hearts of sinners today. Lord, those among us that's not really born again, we pray that you'd deal with their heart. Get personal with them, just like you did me 34 years ago. And Lord, we're excited about being in church this morning. Lord, I didn't have to make myself come to the house of God today. Lord, it's a desire of mine ever since you saved me, Lord, to want to be with your people. And Lord, want to be where the word is preached and read and made much of. Lord, I want to be where the good songs of Zion are, where the good gospel singing is that ministers to me spiritually. And Lord, that's where I want to be, Father. I need it. I don't know if they need me, but I sure need them. I need fellowship today. Lord, I pray that above all, that you will get the glory. Help us to honor you today. And I plead the blood over this thy servant. God, you'd cleanse me, God, from anything that grieve you. Lord, anything that hurt your feelings, anything, Lord, that would restrict you from putting your hand on me today, Lord, I plead the blood over that. Lord, I'm not interested in just going through a little performance here today. I'm not interested, Lord, in just giving out and going through a ritual. I'm interested, Lord, in this being life-changing. This be a time that we can feed upon your word. I pray now that you'd help us, give us that anointing, God, that makes preaching effective and powerful. Lord, I pray that you'll not only anoint me to preach it, but you will anoint the hearers to listen. And Lord, not just listen, Lord, lightly, but they would listen intently. They would listen, God, Lord, knowing that they likewise will give an account for the message as I will for preaching it. Have your way today, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Well, God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Psalms 37 has been a chapter that has been speaking to me and speaking to our church, I hope. This will be, I think, maybe message number four or part number four out of this chapter. I got this message, or the Lord began to stir my heart about this chapter in my devotions. One morning I was reading Psalms 37, and immediately I began to notice the emphasis of this psalm. It's, of course, the Psalm of David, but it's, you know, it's dealing with wicked people. It's dealing with the saints of God living in a world that is thickly populated with wickedness and sin and ungodliness. And I know what the natural response to that would be, that if you can't beat them, join them. And it looks like the people of God numerically is going down in number, and certainly going down in spirit, and seem like wickedness is on the uprise. It seemed like that the news and newspapers and all of that is just filled with wickedness and ungodliness. And if we're not careful, we'll let that influence us. We'll let it influence us, one, in the area of defeat. It'll cause us to give up. It'll cause us to think, what's the use? Why try? You know, just like the young boy and his daddy that was walking upon the seashore early one morning, about just right after daylight, and the high tide had went out, and a bunch of starfish was all up and down the shore. And of course, the daddy was just walking along, and the son would stop it and getting them and throw them back in. He'd get one, he'd throw it back in. And the daddy said to him, said, "Son, you can't make no difference. Look. Look, for every one you throw in, there's hundreds and thousands of them that's not." He said, and he reached and grabbed one and he throwed it in. He said, "Yeah, but it made a difference for that one." He grabbed another one and he said, "It made a difference for that one." You may feel like that we can't win the world. And you may feel like the more you pray, the worse things get. And the more you try to do, the worse it gets. And wickedness abounding on every hand, as it was in the days of Noah. Classic example of that, where there are eight people that were called righteous people. And the rest of the populated world at that time, they estimated was well over, if I remember correctly, well over 300,000 people at that time. And they were all given to wickedness and sin. But you can live for God. That's what this chapter is telling us. God is taking this chapter and saying, yes, they are wickedness. And it is everywhere you look. And wicked people. And they are militant toward God's people, as you could see in this chapter. But that's no excuse for you not to live for the Lord. God is using this chapter to tell us you can live for God if you want to. If you want to live for the Lord, you're the only one that can stop it. The devil can't stop it. No, he can't stop it. The devil can't grieve the Spirit. The devil can't quench the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. God's a greater power than that of the devil. And if we'll tap into who he is, he'll get bigger than who we are, and we can live for the Lord. That's a good positive message. You come to hear a positive message this morning, that's a positive message. God hates sin, and you can live for the Lord. But we've been dealing with this chapter, and scattered throughout this chapter are several commands that are given. When I say command, I'm talking about, for instance, verse 3, trust in the Lord. That is given as an order. That's given as a command. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Verse 5. Trust also in Him. Verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of Him. Verse 8. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not. All down through here. In the chapter. Verse 27. Depart from evil. Do good. Verse number 34, wait on the Lord, keep His way. Verse number 37, mark the perfect man, behold the upright. And on there was commands given. I gave it to you, I think, last Sunday. The way that the Lord has divided this up in my perception of this chapter, He's telling us that we can deal with a wicked world and wickedness and wicked people by three general areas. One, by what you are not to do. And He starts out the chapter on a negative note. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer, neither be thou envious of him, of the workers of iniquity. So He's starting it out by saying, here's how you deal with people. Here's how you deal with wickedness. Watch what you do. Don't do these things. Don't fret. Don't be envious. Amen. And then He starts out in verse 3 by telling us a second area of how we deal with this is not only what we don't do, but what we are to do. And then He starts telling us, trust in the Lord. He's telling us, do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Rest in the Lord. And so on and so forth. But a third area, and I look forward to dealing with that, is through this chapter, the Lord shows at different points what He does and what He's going to do. So it's what I don't do. It's what I am to do. And then it's what God is doing and also going to do. But where we are in our study is verse number 4. We've already covered the first three verses. Verse number 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. My goodness, what about that? Now wait a minute, Lord, do you not understand the context? Lord, we're surrounded by wicked people. And I've pointed out in one of our earlier studies that in chapter 37, it makes it clear that these are not just wicked people around us, but these are people that are attacking us. They are coming against Christianity. They are coming against our faith. They're coming against righteousness. And if you can't see that, even in the America that we live in, then I don't know what you've been looking at. Amen? It's everywhere. It's prevalent. But they're militant toward us. They're desiring to do us in. They're desiring to blame us with all the problems. And one of these days, let me just say this, one of these days, we're going to let them have it. We're not going to let them have it by revenge. We're not going to let them have it by hand grenades and war. We're going to let them have it because we're leaving. And where I'm going, I'm not even taking a suitcase. Praise God. Yeah. That's right. I look around. I don't know that we'll get to and will we even want to, but I'd like to look away as I look down as we're heading up and say, you can have it now. But you're not going to enjoy it. Because you're going into the great tribulation period and the battle of Armageddon's on the way. But anyway, that's a whole other thought line. But delight thyself. Wait a minute, Lord. This chapter is about difficulty. This chapter is about hardships. This chapter is about being done wrong. This chapter is about being mistreated. This chapter is all about that. And you're telling us to delight ourselves in the Lord. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That tells me that delight there is not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's what's going on in you that matters. Amen? We can delight ourselves in the Lord. Amen? And so I want to look at that and deal with that, if I could, and preach a little bit on that this morning. This is something worth mentioning. Did you know the Lord delights in you? More than one verse, I'd like to read one in particular, Psalm 16 and verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. What about that? What about that? The Lord delights in the saints of God. Isn't that good? And we should want to delight Him. This verse deals with delighting in Him, but we should want to delight Him. We should want to be a pleasure to Him and please Him and put a smile on His face. He delights in us. But let me just point out some things out of this verse. This is the only verse we're probably going to get to this morning. I wanted to deal with more, but I think verse 4 is probably going to be it for us this morning. The first thing that I'd like to share with you this morning about this term delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Boy, that verse ought to be big to you. The first thing I want to point out to your attention is, number one, there is the preparation that I see in relation to this word delight. Preparation. It don't just happen. You say, where do you get that? Well, simple. It's in verse 4, not verse 1. Delight is found in verse 4. You've got to go through the previous verses before you get to the word delight. And I don't just get that from that it's in verse 4 and not one, verse 1. But there's a word used in verse 4 that signals that. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you see that? Right. What does that mean? In addition to, in connection with. Delight thyself also in connection to fret not yourself because of the evildoer. Amen. Delight yourself also after you've dealt with the fret not and the envying not. And you've come down to verse 3 and you're dealing with the trusting the Lord and doing good. See, a lot of people would like to have delight without verse 1, 2, and 3. They'd just like to be able to have it without trusting. They'd like to have delight without doing good, of course, verse number 3. Can I interject this here? Do you know that this world would love to have the emotions of Christianity? If you could take the peace that I have in my heart and you have as a believer and put it in a pill or a potion. I mean, listen, you could name the price. Why? Because that's what the world's after. Amen. They want the peace of Christians. And really, they want the joy of Christians. They really do. They'd like to have a lot of other emotions and a lot of other blessings and qualities that come with being a Christian. But the problem is they don't want the Lord of Christianity. That's the issue. But listen, if that would be you here or listening in some other form, if that is your thought, you can't have the joy without Jesus. You can't have forgiveness. You cannot have a clear conscience without Jesus. You cannot have peace without Jesus. Amen. Thank God for that. You got to have Jesus. But the word delight, there is, number one, the preparation for it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Trust in the Lord leads to and prepares for you to be able to have delight in the Lord. Delight never comes through doubt. That's why trust is preceding it. If you're envious of evildoers, that means you're jealous. You'd like to switch places with them. You'd like to have what they've got. You're envious of them. You're not going to be having a delight in the Lord. You won't have a delight in the Lord if you're envious of wicked people. If you're jealous of heathens, you'll never have a desire or a delight for holiness in the Lord. So that's how he deals with that. Doing good in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. How can you have a delight? How can you have that pleasurable delight? How can you have that in the Lord when there's no service? When you're not doing good? A lot of people want a Christianity where they don't have to do nothing. You heard the man and woman, his wife, and they were in search of a church. They was trying to find church membership. So they was wanting to find a new church or a church to go to. They went to one church and all they said was, believe, 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 and believe, and believe. And so they kept that in mind. They jotted down a note or two. The next Sunday they went to another church and all that church said, do, do, do. So they made a little note of that and went to another third church on the third Sunday and went in there and heard the whole everything that went on. They got in their car and they said, well, what'd you think, honey? And they said, well, you know, I think I like that one. They pulled out their notes and they said there was nothing said about believing anything and there was nothing said about doing anything, so I think we like it right here. So most folk are just like that. They're trying to find a place to where they can feel good without having to do good. Hello. That's right. And a lot of your mega booming churches is built upon that. Just whatever feels good, whatever appeals to the flesh, amen, instead of that which is honorable to the Lord. So the delight is, there is the preparation for delight found in that word also, as it links back to the preceding verses and things dealt with. So in order for you to get in verse 4 and have the delight in the Lord, you're going to have to prep that with what's going on in verse 3, particularly verse 3, but also in verse 1. Also, not only do I notice the preparations that's connected here, and I know I covered it. I know I covered it fairly thorough right there, but how many people that's even seated right here today, you don't have no delight in the Lord, and it's not really even because you're lost. I know there's some that's lost. I understand that. You don't have any delight in the Lord because delighting in the Lord is a nature thing. The flesh will never delight in the Lord. The Spirit's the only one that can delight in the Lord. Amen. And lost people are dead in trespasses and sin. They're spiritually dead. Amen. But listen, you don't have a delight in the Lord. When's the last time the Lord delighted you? Let me just turn that around and say it that way. How long's it been since the Lord delighted you? How long's it been since you had the Lord was your pleasure? Now, some of you, listen. I know it's a lot easier to keep your eyes on everybody else and what they're doing and not doing. Amen. But I'm not talking about what your brother's doing and your sister's doing and John Doe. I'm talking about how are you doing. How long's it been since that person you looked in the mirror at this morning? How long's it been since the Lord Jesus Christ delighted you?
Right. Amen.
You know why that most people are bored to death in church? They're delighted with the world.
Right.
Soon as the service is over, they go out, my friend, and they're delighted. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're having a big time out there. I want to ask you, is that where your delight is? Is that where, now listen, I'm not talking about not enjoying life. I'm not talking about going out there and living a morbid life and wearing a veil and all that. I enjoy life. I enjoy life, but I want to tell you, friend, I'm in bad shape when the Lord is not my delight.
Right.
How long's it been since He delighted you with His presence?
Right.
How long's it been since He got a hold of your mind and started bringing back a roll call of your blessings? I know the song says, count your blessings and name them one by one. But we are so blessed, Brother J.R., we probably need to change that and say, count your blessings and name them ton by ton. I'm looking at a people that are blessed beyond measure. God's been good to you. How long's it been since you were delighted with Him? Delighted with Him. Amen. It's not hard to worship if you delight in the Lord. It's not hard to live for the Lord if you delight in Him. Amen. That's right. Amen. Be honest with yourself. How long's it been since you was reading the Word of God and God delighted your soul? Huh? Amen. There's delight. I know. Hello. I know the devil will tell you there's no delight in being a Christian. He'll tell you if you're lost. He told me that. If you get saved, you'll never have any more fun. He'll tell you that if you get saved, you'll be like all the rest of the people that go to church. Long faces. Act like they're chewing on saw briars. Say amen right now. Most people going to church look like they took a big dose of castor oil before they got out of the car and come into church. Amen. I've heard pastors say that when they stand at the door, which I don't do, maybe for this reason. He said that when he stands at the door and watch people comes in, he can tell before they get to the front door of the church if they're going to have a good service or not. How? By looking at their face. Churches are filled with people that don't even want to be there this morning. Amen. Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the ride. But there is, the devil will tell you there's no delight. He'll tell you the only place there's delight is in sin. He won't tell you there's delight in serving God and being a saint of God. But can I testify just a second here? I lived 20 years on the other side of the fence. I lived 20 years on the broad road that leads to destruction. I feel like that I had a taste of that life, which I don't recommend to anyone. The best thing to do is get saved when you're young, to where you don't know what that a lot of those tastes are. You don't expose your mind to a lot of the corruption because you never went to those places and you never was exposed to those things. Amen. Amen, that's right. Our children ought to be so exposed to righteousness that when they hear somebody use a foul word, a curse word, they don't even know what it is. I take great joy myself when somebody brings up a movie or a movie star or some of the latest trends and fashions, and I say, I don't even know what you're talking about. It don't bother me, buddy, to look at them and say, I don't know nothing about who that is. I've never heard that song. I don't know a thing about that. Hallelujah. That's not an embarrassment to me. I will not blush on that. I'm glad that I have severed myself from that broad road. But I know what it is now for 34 years to be on this side of the fence, praise God. I know what it is, but the devil will tell you, oh, there's only delights in sin. And guess what? Hey, I'm going to preach a minute. Some of you are dabbling in that area. You're starting to expose yourself in that area. You're starting to taste. You're starting to try. You're starting to venture in that area. And you wonder why your joy is leaving. You wonder why your delight of church is leaving. You wonder why Bible reading is boring and methodical. Amen. You wonder why the youth choir and the choir can sing and it's just so mundane music. It's nothing that ministers to your heart. And I know first response would be, I wonder what's wrong with the youth choir. What about looking in the mirror? Anyway, I've got to go. I've got to hurry. Not only is there the preparation for delight, delight thyself also, but there is the personal emphasis. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You see that? Now listen, I know the Bible teaches that we're in the body of Christ. I know that. I know the Bible teaches how we fellowship and we draw strength fellowship in one with another. I want to tell you what, God didn't save you in a group. God saved you personally. God saved you individually. And I want to tell you, he said, I'll be your God. I'll be your father. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Amen. There's a personal connection to God. That is, if the whole world turns toward wickedness and sin. Amen. I want to tell you, I can delight in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's not only preparation involved and a personal emphasis involved. There's delight thyself. And by the way, it's not just personal in that God says you can have it. You can have, Brother Brad, you can have this delight. But this is in that command, remember? You remember that imperative mood that we pointed out? Over 16 of them through this chapter. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself is in the imperative mood, which means it's an order, it's a command. God is saying, you do it. If you're going to delight yourself in the Lord, listen, it's up to you. It's up to you. You do it's what it's saying. So let's move on. Not only do I see a personal, a preparation and a personal emphasis, but I want you to note the person of this delight. By the way, I just wrote this down while the choir singing. The person of this delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Yeah. Who are you trying to delight in? Delight yourself also in the Lord. When you, that's, now listen, that's a big subject. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you're not just delighting yourself in what He does. And you don't just delight yourself in what He says. Amen. You don't just delight yourself in what He gives. If you're not careful, you'll leave the person out. Come on. The Lord knows us. He knows us. He knows that we're very we're very likely to do that if we're not careful. We'll want His hand, what He can give, what He can do instead of Him. I know this passage is so familiar with us, but it classically illustrates the point. You remember the last, I believe it's almost the last chapter of John when Jesus was dealing with Peter. After He called him out and said, children, have you any meat, and come and die and all that. And Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, you're saved, you've been called out. Peter, I want to know something. Do you love me more than these? And Brother Bill, the key word there, and I've emphasized it here, is the word more. He didn't say, Peter, do you love me? I believe he knew that. But he said, Peter, I want to know something. I want to know, Peter, do you love me more than these? He knows if we're not careful, even though we're saved, our affection can be drawn away to other things. And other things and people and hobbies and so on can start challenging Him and His romance and His love affair in your heart. Amen. Oh, delight thyself also in the Lord. In Him singular, in Him particular, in Him prominent. Delight yourself in the Lord. Young people, that's the key to the Christian life. It's to delight yourself in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then you won't ever have to worry about going astray and chasing the empty dreams of this world. Amen. Because the world cannot delight your soul. The world cannot satisfy your heart as the Lord. Amen. So there is the person, and I just felt that the Lord would have me to emphasize that we need to delight in Him. We need to delight in Him. And a good way to note that is, are we delighting in His Word? How many times in the book of Psalms in particular you find David saying he delights in the law of the Lord? I have several scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all, but Psalms 1 and verse number 2, talking about the blessed man, the blessed man, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms 94, verse 19, in a multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delight my soul. Psalms 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Over and over, and I didn't read them all, but over and over you find David saying, God, I delight in your word. How do you know if you're delighting in the word? Does the word delight you? That's the way to look at it. Are we delighting ourselves in the Lord today? And that, listen, hello, that's always going to be challenged. That's going to be challenged in your life. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then let me move on and deal, let me deal with the word delight. I want to talk about also not only the preparation and the personal emphasis and the person that's emphasized, but there's also, and I just use the word pliable. Pliable. That is a word that's used in the potter's world. Potter and clay. When clay is can be easily formed. It can be easily made into the image of the pot that the potter desires. That clay is pliable. It's not hard. Okay, and I'm going to show you where I get that now. It's not hard, but it can be molded. It can be conformed. Now, I know when you first look at that word delight, and many times in the scripture, that word delight is used to identify. It is identifying pleasure. It is identifying your enjoyment, joy, gladness, things of that nature. But that's not the case in verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. When you look it up in the Hebrew or in the Strong's Concordance, and everybody should have access to one of those. You can get it online, actually, there's a lot of sites. It's got that free for you. Bible study areas. You got access to the Strong's Concordance, which is Hebrew and Greek dictionary. So there's no excuse for us not to know what words mean. Right. And what words mean in English may not necessarily have the same connotation as what it meant in the Hebrew or in the Greek. I can't read Greek or Hebrew either. I met one time. He ran a hot dog stand, but I can study, amen. I can study. Brother Brad's learning Greek, aren't you, Brother Brad? Hello, oh, amen. Hola? No, that's not Greek. All right, listen. The word delight here, and I want you to get this. This word delight in our text means to be soft, pliable, delicate. Delight yourself in the Lord means make yourself delicate. Make yourself soft toward Him. Make yourself pliable toward the Lord. In fact, the first mention of that word is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 56. Listen to it, see if you can hear it. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. The sole of my feet, Brother Clipper, I promise you, is tender and delicate. It said in that verse right there that woman, that delicate, the tender woman, would not even put her foot upon the ground because of, there's the word, delicateness. In other words, when there's a tender delicateness as in that usage, you guard against hurt. Now, when I was growing up, we used to have foot races on rocks. That's how tough I was. Notice the emphasis there was. Now I take my shoes off and I can't even hardly walk across the carpet. My feet is not tough. Hello. My feet is tender, but that's the usage of the first mention of that word there is used in Deuteronomy that she, this woman that was tender and delicate, she would not even put the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness. Her foot being tender kept her from putting her bare foot upon the ground. When we make ourselves tender toward the Lord, we make ourselves pliable, soft toward the Lord, where He can move us and mold us, we will guard that. How do I guard that? I put shoes on. I guard that tenderness of my feet by putting a shoe on. I can step on whatever, amen, and I go right on. Why? Because I'm guarding that. Right. Well, when we're tender toward the Lord, how many people, listen, you know what the emphasis here is? David is saying, don't let the wicked world and the wickedness and the wicked people and the wicked treatment of the world against you make you hard. Brother Mark dealt with that in Sunday school, Paul's admonishment to Timothy. Amen. Don't get hard.
Right.
If you're not, listen, you can't worship God if you're hard-hearted, hard-headed. Amen. Listen, keep that tenderness. Keep that tenderness toward the Lord. Keep that pliable softness toward the Lord. Amen. That's right. Amen. You'll protect that from hurt. You'll protect that from dirt even. That's why another reason she wouldn't put her foot on the ground. Not only to guard from hurt, but to keep her foot from getting defiled with the dirt of the ground even. I'm using that because that's the first mention. And when you talk about first mention, you go back and find that, and it carries that same meaning every time it's used throughout the Scripture. Whatever word it is. Delight yourself also in the Lord. So there is the pliableness. And by the way, keep in mind, He's telling you to do this. You delight yourself. You make yourself soft. Now listen, He's not talking about being soft toward sin. I'm too soft in that area. I think we all are. Hello? He's not talking about being soft toward sin. We're talking about being soft, or delight yourself in the Lord. Being soft in the Lord. Being pliable in the Lord. Amen. And you say, preacher, will that bring pleasure? I guarantee it. That'll bring enjoyment to you. Amen. So next, write down the word, not only preparation and personal and person and pliable, but also I know the promise. Look what he said in verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And look at these next few words. And He shall give thee. You know what? You know what a lot of people might have in their mind sometimes when when they're hearing preaching like this or God's dealing with them about getting tender toward the Lord and being soft toward Him and amen, letting Him be able to mold us and form us. We think about this. What's in it for me?
Right.
Well, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee. Brother Silas, would you want Him on the giving end? How many of you would like to have God on the giving end? I mean, He holds back nothing. He's already gave His best. He's already gave His Son. I want Him on the giving end. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee. I like that. That got big to me there a little bit ago. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So write down not only the word promise. By the way, the word He shall is also is used there in, let's see here, where's it at? verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I know where I was getting that at, because dealing with committing your way and trusting also in Him, in verse number 5, it comes up again. He shall. I like the shalls of God.
Right.
If I say shall, it may or may not happen. You know, something circumstantially could happen. Something could happen. But when God says shall, there's nothing going to interfere with that. Amen. That's a definite. That's a declaration, a promise. So there is a promise. There's a promise. He shall give thee. And then write down the word provision. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. God is saying that if you, and I noted this in this passage here, how that the word desire and delight is in the same verse. Isn't that amazing? You say, but preacher, I would get right with God and delight myself in the Lord, but I don't know of what He might give me. Didn't we hear some testimonies about that last week? Miss Candy, and how we seen things come, and we was kind of hesitant about trusting the Lord with this issue because we didn't know how it was going to turn out. Remember those testimonies? Why? Delight in the Lord. I'm fearful of what He might give me. He might give me a task to do. But what in the verse does it say that He would give me? Young ladies, my amen corner, what does it say? The desires. What? The desires of thine heart. In other words, I will want what He gives me. It's a desire. Hey, let me give you a good word if you're lost here today. When you get saved, God puts His nature in you. He puts His spirit in you. He puts His life in you. And in so doing, you will want what He wants. We get in trouble when we want what we want instead of what He wants. Jesus' greatest example of submission, Brother Ron, said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Thy will be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done." Amen. How do you want what the Lord wants? Delight yourself in the Lord, and as a result, you will have desires that will be honorable for the Lord to grant. Hey, come on now. You can't use this verse about everything. Okay, Lord. You said You was going to give me a whatever. Fill in the blank. You can't claim that. Okay, Lord, I believed that verse last night about having a brand new car in the driveway this morning. I got up, looked out, and no new car in the driveway. That's not, you can't use that verse like that. You can't use this verse in this name it, claim it business. Amen. God is saying you get right and deal with the previous verses. Get to where you delight in the Lord. Amen. Make yourself tender toward the Lord. You don't want to hurt Him. Amen. Make yourself tender toward the Lord. And the desires, you will have desires in your heart. You know what we need a revival of? We need a revival of desires. Some of you, listen, and I battle it too. You say, no, preacher, not you. Not Preacher Ackley, no, not you. Yes, me. It's a battleground, Brother Mark, on my desires. Amen. Keeping my desires where they need to be. And not just keeping them where they need to be, but allowing them to go to another level of intensity, go to another level of spiritual desire. Amen? But I like that and noted that the word delight is also in the verse where desires are. And desires has got an S on it. I like that. It's plural. The desires of thine heart. I wrote down the word provision right there, Brother Mark. If I delight myself in the Lord, and that is my business, and that is my responsibility, if I will delight myself in the Lord, God says, "Hear what I'm going to give you the desires of your heart." And sometimes those desires of your heart are needs that need to be met. We got little baby Isaac sitting right back there as a miracle baby. Of course, we got... My mind went blank. The name. Ridge. Right? Ridge. I get to preach. I don't know where I'm at hardly. But it's a miracle right there. What was he when he was born? 2 pounds something? 1 pound, 15 ounces. And they thought, well, he'll never make it. You know. And I'm sure that Miss Shannon, and we've heard her testimony to the fact, and Brother Matt, how that they had a desire. Even Miss Shannon said in the hospital room, not knowing the outcome, and she said, Lord, whether we have, what is it, whether we have a funeral or a birth, we're going to praise you anyhow. Amen. Amen. How long's it been? And I want to tell you, we need to do it again this morning. In our heart, we need to let the Lord know that we're not serving Him conditionally.
Right.
We need to let Him know, Lord, we're not serving You based on what you do or what you don't do.
Mm.
Amen. I was down preaching revival. What was that, last week? Week before last, down in Winchester, Tennessee. Well, Brother Bobby King come down. He come down about several nights and wasn't just about 20 minutes away to where he lives. Well, he wanted to take me turkey hunting one morning. Two mornings, in fact. About kill me. We was going in the woods one morning and the thought come across my mind, we hadn't even prayed and asked the Lord. So I said, brother, and I mean, we're going, they are gobbling on the, I mean, we got to get there in a hurry. I said, brother, we ain't even prayed about this. He said, oh, we need to pray about this. So we just stopped right there on the hillside. He said, preacher, pray. I said, gladly. I got down in the leaves, buddy, and Brother Ivan is about that, like when we went in the woods that time. I got down in the leaves, and it wasn't but a few minutes. I didn't hear no goblin. I wasn't worried about goblin. I just got captivated with God, and God got in the bushes with us, amen, and it got thick, and we got to worshiping the Lord on the hillside, amen. And I said, Lord, if it could be your will to let us kill a turkey today or whatever. I said, we're going to praise you. And then it hit me. And I said, but Lord, whether you let us kill one or not, we're going to praise you anyhow. We're not going to base our praise on whether you give us a turkey or not. Amen. Or a fish or a deer or a job or a whatever. Amen. We're going to serve you just because you're worthy. And we're going to serve you because you saved us. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the Lord challenges us to see if we have that devotion to Him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I've been challenged there more than once. Several years ago. Actually, it was the first deep, dark valley I ever went through. And I told this here. I'm going to tell it again. The first deep, dark valley I went through after being saved. I'm telling you, I went. I don't know how many days I went, but I couldn't feel God's presence. I couldn't hear His voice. The Word of God wasn't speaking to me. Wasn't no liberty to pray. And man, I got sick of that. Because His presence is my joy. Just going through the rituals and the ruts and the routines, that's not my joy, Sister Hayes. My joy is His presence. I crawled out of the bed one night. I was still living at home. Mom and Daddy wasn't married. And I got out of the bed about midnight. Had my prayer ground over next to the spring. I got my flashlight and out across the through there I went. Got over on my prayer ground and I tried praying, kneeling. And boy, God had met with me on that prayer ground many times. I tried walking. I said, well, if I prayed over here, I'd get up, I'd move over there. Nothing. It was just like a brick wall. It was just like heaven was brass. And the more I went with that, the more it got like that, instead of giving up, I got determined. A resolve was rising up in my faith. A resolve and determination was rising up in my spirit. And I said, and finally I come to the place, Brother Craddock, where I meant it. There wasn't nobody else over there. It was dark. And I said, Lord, whether you ever bless me again, whether I ever hear your voice again, whether you ever touch me again, I want you to know, and I mean it, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to live for you. And I mean it with everything in me. And buddy, when that came out, it was like God sat down on that hill. Hallelujah. Son, I shook hands with the bushes and climbed a few trees. I'm telling you, me and God had a time. But what was God doing? God was testing me to see if I was attaching things to Him. If you're not careful, you'll attach boyfriends to Him and girlfriends to Him and money and jobs and material things. And amen, as long God now as you're dishing it out, Lord, we're going to be faithful to church. We're going to serve You. Where's that Job spirit? Yet though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Buried all 10 of His children. I wonder how many of us would have quit right there. Lost all of His finances, lost everything. And I'm not talking about over several years. I'm talking about He lost all 10 of His kids in one day. But what did He do? In all of this, he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Actually, there's a word there that we misquote sometimes. The Lord hath taken away. He wasn't talking about the possibility. Well, the Lord could get it. The Lord could take it. No, he is praying on the post end of that. He is praying after the fact that they've done buried all of his kids. Amen. And all of that. He said, the Lord hath taken the way. But here's what come out of his mouth, Miss Brooke. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you determined? Do you have that determination? Regardless, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to delight myself in you, and you are going to give me the desires of my heart. Of course, that word desire implies delight. So it starts out with delight and ends up with desires, and a desire, when it's granted, listen, a desire is a pleasure. Last time I checked that out. It'll be a pleasure to you to serve the Lord if you make Him your joy, your enjoyment, your pleasure. Stay pliable to Him. Stay tender toward Him. And God said He'd give you the desires of your heart. Do we really want what He wants? Do we really? I mean, personally, you don't have to ask yourself on that. And you may even have to just take some investigative tours down inside to see, Lord, do I really want what you want? Especially when that's challenged. See, we tag it. We tag it. Lord, I really want what you want. It's, Lord, as long as you don't ask me to move. Had an individual the other day I was talking to, actually counsel on the phone, and I said, brother, I said, it may very well be that God's fixing to move you. Oh. Oh, preacher, I can't stand the thoughts of relocating. Do you want what He wants? I had to get that settled, Brother Carroll, to come to Rogersville. It took me a while. From June to September of 92, it took me a while, but it got in my heart and still is. Hey, did I want to come at first? I didn't want to come. Me or my wife, either one didn't want to come. And then after I started wanting to come, she still didn't want to come. And it's a thousand wonders we came. She'd come in, plop herself down, still on the back row, by the way. I just stayed that. Her attitude's changed a little bit. Actually, she's sitting on this side. She has one on the sheep's, I mean the right side. I mean this side. No offense. I'm just kidding. But she'd sit down on the back row. She'd come straight in, plop down on the back row. Wouldn't hardly speak to nobody. Wouldn't hardly shake nobody's hand. And I thought, Lord, if I get up here, it's going to be a miracle. But do you want what God wants? Right. It's not always going to be convenient to get to desire what God wants.
Right.
It's not always going to be, Lord, okay, here's my contract. Now, Lord, I'll serve you if you don't ask me to move too far away from mama. Hello? Now, I'm not saying that's always God's will, but God moved me to South Carolina, which wasn't that far, but still, I mean, I was a mama's boy. And to move away down to South Carolina, that was tough on me. In fact, the day that I moved, the last time, when I had my last load, nobody was at home. Man, that was pitiful. It was just me. I'm not trying to stir your sympathy. I'm just saying what happened, Miss James. I went up, before I ever left, I went up on the hill where I played as a kid, and and sat down, leaned up against a tree, and looked back down at the house. Memories on top of memories. And I recalled almost 25 years of memory right there. Moving wasn't easy. Do you want what God wants? Have you come to that place to where you say, Lord, I'm delighting myself in you, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what you do or don't do? But Lord, you said in your word, and my wife claimed it, that verse, in fact, to give her the desires of her heart, and she chased me all the way down, and I surrendered. So my wife will tell you it works. That verse works. But the key is more so the delight part rather than the desires part. The desires is probably going to be automatic. If you get the delight part right, you'll have the desires. The desires will be there, and there'll be desires that God can grant. In closing, simply put, though we're living in a world of wickedness and wicked people and wicked things, and it's, you can still have delight. You can still delight yourself in the Lord. You can still trust in the Lord. You can still do good. You can still fret not yourself of the evildoer, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. You can still do that. You can still do that. Trust in the Lord with all, Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's how you deal with the world's condition. You've put your focus on the Lord. You delight in him. And God will give you desires in your heart, and then he'll grant those desires many times. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you.